Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
We do welcome you in. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Have you for the next 2 hours. We're with you till 8 o'clock this evening, just wrapping up Rush Hour Sports. And now we'll take you till 8 o'clock this evening with Sports Open Line. We've got a lot going on the program this evening. In about 10 minutes or so, we're going to talk with our good friend Earl Austin Jr. Of course, you hear him on Slew Bilkins' broadcast. As Slew Bilkins basketball, they are looking pretty darn good. They had a very solid weekend. It was good to see what they were able to do against a pretty solid Grand Canyon squad. They won by 14, 78 to 64, and now they've got a little bit of time until their next game. They'll get the week, and they'll play on Friday against Purdue Fort Wayne, and then that's going to take them essentially all the way until right around Thanksgiving when they're going to go out to California for an event that goes on out there. So Earl Austin Jr. will give us his thoughts on what he has seen here in the early going from the Billikens. At about 6:35 this hour, we'll talk with another one of our friends, Brian Walton. He is part of, really, he's the owner and proprietor of thecardinalnation.com. We'll talk to him about maybe what to expect for the Cardinals to bring in during this period of the offseason, where you think that they're likely to bring in some more younger players, some more prospect-level players. What is the value for Brendan Donovan? And then also, what's these other guys getting to the big leagues. So Brian's going to join us at about 6:35. Next hour, we will talk with Mike Meyer from STL Sports Central. He covers the Blues for them. It is it's not great right now for the Blues. Not great at all. When you've got a veteran guy talking after the game about the team going on autopilot and a loss, that is not what you want to hear at all. And that's what we heard out of Justin Falk after their most recent loss. So we'll talk with Mike Meyer coming up. We'll also hear some of what Jim Montgomery had to say today. He did meet with the media, and we'll play back some of his comments as the Blues are getting set to go on the road. And they're going to be on the road for a while. They're going to play 5 games out east. Starts with a game against Toronto tomorrow. Then they'll go to Philadelphia. After that, they'll still have games against the Islanders and the Rangers and the Devils before eventually being able to return home. Starting with baseball, though, we're kind of in a weird period of the calendar where The GM meetings have wrapped up, but we're still a few weeks out from the winter meetings getting underway. Of course, we're coming up on Thanksgiving. There's no rule that says that you can't make moves on Thanksgiving and right around it, but you tend to not see a whole lot of activity around that time. So, you know, I mentioned this with this is how I started Rush Hour Sports, talking with Bernie Miklas. We were kind of having fun and we were kind of joking around about the fact that the GM meetings seemed like something that you could do in an email or seemed like something you could do on a Zoom call. And once they took place and I read and I took in all the various reporting, I was really glad the GM meetings took place because I was glad that Heim Bloom was able to get in a room with all the various individuals that lead the baseball operations for other teams across Major League Baseball and start to have some conversations about what might be available. And there's been some reporting that in the past, maybe there's been some wishy-washiness or some back and forth feelings from the Cardinals in their communication with other teams about what they were wanting to do. And I don't know how real that is or not. It's not something that I have any insight on. I've read the reporting on it, and bluntly, it doesn't really matter right now if that is if there's truth to it or not. But what does matter is that the Cardinals take this offseason as a way to make their organization that much more healthy. And being a healthier organization doesn't always mean that you're going to win more games the next season. In fact, I don't know what it's going to look like this next season. I'm probably going to feel very similar to this upcoming season that I did this past season, that they're probably a team that is around 500 or so. And that's kind of what they were this past year. They finished below 500, and they didn't win a whole lot of games over the final week or so, especially after they were eliminated from, you know, officially eliminated from postseason contention. But all that being said, what can you do to make your organization healthier this offseason where when this team is ready to contend at a much higher level, at a division-winning level, at a league-winning level, and at a World Series-winning level, when you're back at that point, do you have the pieces in your organization that you need to make that a reality? And what they do this offseason could, not a guarantee that it will, but could go a long way towards that happening. And again, I realize who I'm talking to. I know there's people who are just tired, who are sick and tired of hearing the talk about trading off major league pieces and bringing in prospects and all of that. And I get it. That's not what you want right now. But I think what you do want is a team that's going to compete at a pretty high level moving forward. And they got to get back to that point. And probably the quickest way to get back to that point is to make some hard, uncomfortable decisions. But there's also some hard, uncomfortable decisions that could result in the team having some nice pieces available, not just for this season, but for years to come. For example, what Bernie and I were talking about last hour when it comes to Sonny Gray. If you do trade Sonny Gray, you are walking away from as much as $40 million because he's going to make $35 million this upcoming season, plus there's a $5 million buyout if you don't take that final year of his contract. Now, I'm hesitant to believe that another team's going to eat all $40 million for Sonny Gray. Not impossible. The Cardinals probably would have to eat some of that, but the Cardinals paid so little for Gray in his first season, that doesn't bother me if they've got to eat a little bit of that contract. But if all of a sudden, if $20 or $25 million comes off the books and you're in a position where you can bring in somebody, and they are somebody who's going to be available this upcoming season, but somebody you've got club control on, even if the number's a little bit higher than you might want, maybe it is a free agent. I don't think they're going to be overly active in free agency, but maybe something does present itself. You might be able to do something a little bit unexpected because that money comes off the books. That's not me trying to push Sonny Gray out the door. I like Sonny Gray a lot. I think he's clearly been the best starting pitcher that the Cardinals have had over the last couple of years and has given them the best chance to win on any given, you know, any given night that he goes out and pitches. But the reality of the situation is that Gray is likely to get moved this offseason. So if we accept the realities of the situation, how could that benefit the Cardinals? And while there obviously is going to be some long-term benefit to it, is there any short-term benefit to it as well? Not a guarantee. But is there a possibility that it could result in somebody coming in that can contribute this year because they've got years attached to them? Yeah, that is a possibility, and we'll have to wait and see how that's all going to play out. All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk Billikens basketball. Our good friend Earl Austin Jr., you hear him working alongside of Bob Ramsey on all the Billikens radio broadcast. We'll hear from Earl coming up in just a moment.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. KMOX is your home for Billikens basketball. Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr. always bringing you those games. You'll hear them again coming up on Friday night when they play host to Purdue-Fort Wayne over at Chaffetz Arena. Billikens are coming off a really good 78-64 win against Grand Canyon on Saturday. And with that, we're very happy to welcome on to the program. I just mentioned a moment ago, he is alongside of Bob Ramsey. He is on the Billiken broadcast. He is Earl Austin Jr. Earl, always appreciate you finding some time for us. How are you?
It's my pleasure, man. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. It's great to be able to talk to you. It's great to once again be able to hear you and Ram are doing your thing. How much fun is it right now watching this team? Because they've gone out to a 4-0 start, and they haven't played perfect games. There's certainly been some issues in some of these games, but it seems like every single night something pretty cool is going on, and maybe it's a different individual that's being able to step forward.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun. It's always fun to broadcast Billiken basketball, but this has the makings of being a special team. What I like about it is that they play well together, and they, like we talked about, they have a lot of depth. They go 9 deep, possibly 10 on some nights. Each night is a different guy, but they play hard on both ends of the court. We got guys that can shoot. I think what's most entertaining about it is they play fast. I mean, they play at a breakneck speed. Sometimes the ball may go flying. So if you're sitting in the front row of the band, you may want to have your head on a swivel, pay attention, because that ball could come at you. But they're able to keep nine guys coming at you in waves and everything. And that's why they've been able to kind of break away from teams normally in that second half. But it's been a treat to watch, just to watch them play. And I think fans will start to pick up on it as the season goes along.
We found out that sophomore guard Amari McCautry is the A-10 Men's Basketball Player of the Week. Last week averaged 21.5 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists per game. Had 23 against Lindenwood, had 20 against Grand Canyon. It's interesting that I ask you about somebody other than Robbie Avila to start the interview. We'll get to him in a second. But McCautry's obviously had a sensational start to his season.
Yes, he has. You can see him it started at the end of his freshman year. We had injuries, and it kind of forced him into playing time late in the season. In our last game of the season, our NIT lost to Arkansas State. He had 20 points and 10 rebounds, so it kind of a good stop jumping off point. He's come back stronger. His jump shot, look, he's hitting his free throws. He's starting to be a little bit better from the outside, but when it comes to driving to the basket and finishing around the rim, he's as good as anybody. He's got this 7-foot wingspan, and he can finish with the right hand, left hand, at all kinds of different angles. And then he can also defensively can cause problems with that wingspan. At the end of the first half, we were up 5. He scored on a layup, and then when they were going for the last shot, he picked the guy's pocket and went in for a layup, and the lead went from 5-9. And he's just starting. His arrow is always pointing up, and he's just going to continue to get better and better.
Yeah, you talk about finishing and being able to finish in different ways, and that's something that maybe we don't talk about a lot with basketball players, but it's so important that when you're close to the basket, you're able to, no matter how you're being defended, that you're able to get to the basket and finish what you're trying to do. Earl, in all your years doing this, who is the best finisher that you've seen?
The Joker, probably. His touch is just amazing. On those little 4- and 5-foot floaters, 8-foot, he gets the rebound. And it's just, I mean, it's like a surgeon out there how he does it. And it never hits the rim. And and there's other guys that have that. He's like a guy that hits floater shot. But you watch Joker working on that basket. And it's just like turnaround 6- and 7-foot shots around the basket. He seems to never miss those. And those are tough shots. He could be knocked down, banging around. And he just puts them in with just a death touch.
I said we would get to Robbie Avila. Nice start to the season for him. He's scoring in double figures like he expected him to. The rebounds are at a pretty nice place. I think sometimes we expect so much out of him, and because he's such a skilled player, a lot of people downgrade what he did last year, and last year was a really, really solid season for him. What have you seen from him so far? What more can he do? How would you evaluate the 4-game start for him?
Robbie's been very good. First of all, he's been very good defensively. People have been switching out on screens, or we blitz a screen. He's moving his feet. He'll get a block shot here. He'll get a deflection or a steal. So he's really become more engaged on the defensive end. On the offensive end, he's very efficient. He doesn't have to do everything because we got 9 guys. Last year, he had 2 or 3 times teams could just double off of him, double him up, and force other guys to shoot and kind of make him play in a phone booth, and he still had a really good season. But this year, you can't double him. I mean, if you double, he's going to knock through. Great job trailing the breaks, hitting 3-point shots, hitting pick-and-pop 3-pointers, and just playing a nice, efficient, smooth game. Because we're playing such a fast game, he kind of bides his time. But we know when it becomes more of a half-court game, he's the guy that he can go dribble and get a bucket in the post, and he can also pass that ball is very good and just kind of initiate the offense with his great passing ability.
Feels like the schedule was built in a specific way where those first 3 games of the season came fast and furious, all 8-day, 3 games in 8 days. And now essentially the team is playing 1 game a week for a few weeks here, at least leading into that event that's going to be out in California. Is that just the way the schedule is, or is there some benefit to getting some games in quick and then being able to get back onto the practice floor a little bit more as you get into that second group of non-conference games?
Yeah, they came quick, and like you say, 14 that plays fast, you're able to get 4 good games in, and they're probably help out that we have about 6, 7, 8 between these games. A little banged up after this game. Kellen took a shot on a screen, and I think Polo Channel tweaked an ankle a little bit. So having a weekend between games before Purdue Fort Wayne, I think, is good. And then it starts to get real once again. You know, when you go to California for 3 big games, obviously in that tournament with Santa Clara, a very good team, and then even Minnesota, and then a road game against Laurel and Marymount. That's what it really starts to get real a little bit once you leave Chase.
He is Earl Austin Jr. You listen to him alongside of Bob Ramsey for all the Billikens broadcasts. They're going to be back with you on your radio dial coming up on Friday night when the Billikens match up against Purdue Fort Wayne. That's going to be a 7 o'clock start over at Shea Fitz Arena. Earl, we always appreciate you taking the time with us, and hopefully we'll talk to you again very, very soon.
It's my pleasure, man. Always good talking with you.
Awesome. Very good. That's Earl Austin Jr. joining us on the show. And, man, I'll tell you what, it's that game against Grand Canyon was – that's one that I think you feel really, really good about. And to do what they've done in the last couple games, because I think those first two games – and, look, it's the first two games of the season. Of course, there's going to be some red flags. But you come out of those first two games of the season against Southeast Missouri and Chicago State, and it felt like the narratives after those games were actually more negative than positive about some of the things that the team did not do as well as Coach Schertz would have liked them to have done. And then you get to a Lindenwood matchup, a week ago today, and they just they took care of business very easily in that one, putting up 109 points. At that point, they put up 108 and 109 points in back-to-back games, respectively. And then you bring in a Grand Canyon team, which is expected to be pretty good this year, and you really play well. You really play well in that game. You win by 14, pretty consistent in terms of getting out to a good lead at halftime and then holding on to that lead over the course of the second half. And just the various players that we're seeing coming into their own. And, you know, I mentioned Amari McCautry because he was named the conference player of the week, and rightfully so. But there were a lot of players who you look up and down the box score, and when you get one of those nights where two or three guys can be well into double figures, 15 to 20 points, the way it was against so you had two guys in that number against Grand Canyon with McCautry and Avila. But then when you get a gaggle of guys who are scoring between 6 and 8 points, that's where all of a sudden it becomes such a hard offense to defend against. Because, yeah, there are the guys that you know are beating you consistently, but when you really focus in on them, there's a bunch of other guys that can go out and score. In that game against Grand Canyon, SLU had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, had 6 guys scoring between 6 and 8 points. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but I can't overstate just the power of having a deep bench, or not even a deep bench, but just the depth of your team where you can get a whole bunch of guys contributing at that sort of level, because then defenses aren't able to just focus in on one or two guys. And if that can continue on, and if those numbers can even go up a little bit more every once in a while, that's going to go a long way towards this team putting together a very solid season. Still really early. Have not been overly tested. If we're going to say that Grand Canyon is the best team that they've played, then they'd like to test themselves more. But that's going to happen. And they did have the exhibition against Bradley, and they had the closed door exhibition against Iowa, and they're going to see either Minnesota or Stanford coming up at that event in California. So they're going to see some good teams here moving forward, but they're in a very good, very good place right now. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with our friend Brian Walton from thecardinalnation.com, and we'll hear from him on what he thinks about some of the young players coming up, and also how much more can the Cardinals augment their minor league system with some potential moves here during the offseason. We'll talk with Brian about all of that coming up in just a moment as you are locked into a Graybar Sports Open on KMOX. Back at KMOX, it is a Graybar Sports Open Line. The GM meetings are now officially in the rearview mirror. The winter meetings right around the corner. A lot of things to talk about, Cardinals baseball related and also Cardinals prospects related. And to talk through much of that, we're happy to once again bring on to the show Brian Walton. He is the owner at thecardinalnation.com. Does just an amazing job covering Cardinals prospects and Cardinals minor leagues. And we always enjoy talking with Brian, not just about the prospects, but about the team in general. Follow him on Twitter at @B_Walton. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Pleasure to be on again, Matt.
So let's, I guess the question that the number one question that Cardinals fans have right now is sort of a lot of timeline questions. When are guys going to get here? And we can go over some of those, but just from a very general standpoint, Brian, do you expect to see a lot of like high level players making their major league debuts with the Cardinals this upcoming season?
Well, it's interesting, Matt. You know, I think the number may be smaller than we expect, but part of that is because the Cardinals added three players to the 40-man roster late in the season who would need to be protected for the Rule 5 draft anyway, and that deadline's coming tomorrow, by the way. And that's outfielder Nathan Church, who spent about the last 6 weeks with St. Louis, I think, catcher Jimmy Crooks, and infielder Cesar Prieto. So those guys are guys that were, you know, regulars with Memphis this last year, but they've already made their major league debut. Now, the guy that's probably on the cusp the most, and which there's the biggest questions about after the most obvious, J.J. Weatherholt, is pitcher Quinn Matthews, a left-hander, who, you know, had we had this conversation 12 months ago, I would have said that I thought Matthews would be on a McGreevy kind of trajectory. And what that meant was that he was going to pitch lights out early on for Memphis and push his way into St. Louis by the middle of the year. That didn't happen because Quinn Matthews had some shoulder issues, his velocity ticked down, and he had some trouble with his control. But I think, you know, given the need of pitching that St. Louis has, there's going to be a lot of attention on Quinn Matthews as to his readiness or not readiness to make that final step.
I know Matthews not getting to the big leagues this year was largely connected to, as you alluded to, his injuries. But it's not the worst thing in the world that a year following him going through four different levels of the minor league organization for him to get a little bit more time at AAA before getting to the big leagues. It feels like that's something that can potentially pay out some dividends.
Well, we'll have to see. Certainly his 2024 was exceptional in every way. Not only did he play into four levels, as you mentioned, but he also led the entire minor leagues, all 30 organizations, in strikeouts. And that, you know, he wasn't able to replicate that in 2025. But, you know, Quinn Matthews is still young. I mean, this is going to be his third full professional year. So there's a lot of runway ahead of him as he sort of remakes himself here going forward. The other guy that I wanted to mention was an interesting add that the Cardinals made to the 40-man roster, a young man named Brian Torres, and he's really not that young. He's 27 years old. Started off in the Reds organization, won two batting titles in independent ball, has been very successful, been an MVP in the Puerto Rican Winter League, and, you know, continues to hit 300 every year, led the International League, which is 20 teams, in on-base percentage at .441 this last year. And the Cardinals didn't want Brian Torres to get away as a minor league free agent, so they placed him on the 40-man roster as well, and he can play second base as well as all over in the outfield. So it gives the Cardinals another guy to put in the mix as they figure out which guys they're going to keep and which guys they're going to trade away, and potentially even non-tender. The non-tender deadline is coming on Friday, and of course that's when the team decides whether they want to issue a contract to the players with less than 6 years of experience that are arbitration eligible.
Are you expecting any somewhat shocking names being, you know, made available in the Rule 5 or not being tendered a contract? Is this something where Chaim Bloom comes in and maybe there's some guys who have been key parts of this organization or people that we thought were going to be eventually in the big leagues who all of a sudden are given the opportunity to go somewhere else?
Well, I saw one member of the local media throw out the idea, you know, would Lars Nootbaar be non-tendered? I think that's ridiculous. I think Nootbaar has tremendous value. But, you know, relievers are fairly fundable, I have to say, Matt. And you look at a John King, for example, and a Jorge Alcala, who the Cardinals got in, you know, from Boston. And those guys are guys that are, you know, eligible for arbitration. So they're going to make some money, a few million dollars, and could probably be replaced by minimum
wage guys off the free agent market. So I think the bullpen is probably the place if there were any non-tenders to be. But the most immediate question is, you know, which guys are they going to add to the 40-man roster tomorrow on Tuesday, because they have three openings and they have at least nine players that I see as candidates for those three spots.
How much of it is playing the game of making sure you keep the guys that you want to stay in the organization versus also gambling a little bit that a player would not be potentially selected in the Rule 5?
It's not only that, Matt, that they wouldn't potentially not be selected, but the angle that even if they are selected, do they have enough experience and capability to stay on a major league roster the entire 2026 season? Because if a player picked in the Rule 5 does not stick with his team, then he has to be offered back to his prior team. And if his prior team doesn't want him, he has to be put on waivers. So not only do the Cardinals, because of the nine players I mentioned that are Rule 5 candidates, only two of them have any AAA experience. And so another club's got to look and say, you know, hey, is a Bryson Motz, who was exceptional at AA, can we hide him at the back of our bullpen for all of 2026 until he gets up to major league capability? Because that's a question mark. Guy's never thrown at AAA. Or a hitter like Blaze Jordan, who the Cardinals picked up from Boston. You know, there's only a four-man bench now in baseball because from the position player side because of the designated hitter. So you can't really stash a guy, a hitter, very, very well unless he shows he's ready for the majors. And Blaze Jordan, you know, showed good power when he came over in the final month of the season, but did not hit for average at all. Needs some more time.
There's a, you know, every publication out there does their own rankings and overall, like Fangraphs recently made the Cardinals their number one farm system. As somebody like you who covers the prospect level so much, how much, and part of this is connected to the fact that they've had two really high draft picks, and J.J. Weatherholt and Liam Doyle are in the organization, so that's going to help the overall ranking of it. But what have you noticed in terms of what the Cardinals have been able to do in the last year plus in terms of really bringing in more talent into the organization and having more available in the minor leagues?
The Fangraphs algorithm is really interesting because they did it more scientifically, I'll say, than most of the other rankings. And that's not to say that the organization rankings that come out from MLB Pipeline or Baseball America aren't good as well. But what Fangraphs did was they took every player in the minor league system and said, you know, what's his potential value? What's his best case? What's his ceiling? And they assigned a dollar value to that. And the Cardinals did it. They ranked number one, both based on quality but also quantity. And that's something the Cardinals have done very well for a long time. And that's churned out large number of players, especially players that weren't drafted, you know, in the first few rounds of the draft, guys like Donovan and Newt Barr and all. So typically the way that farm systems are ranked is by the number of sheer high-end products. How many guys are in the national top 100? I don't think the Cardinals are the number one system in baseball, frankly, but I think they're a lot better than 20-ish, which is where they were a year ago. I think they're probably going to come certainly in the top half this year, but that'll change. As soon as J.J. Weatherholt graduates to the major leagues, then you've got to look at Liam Doyle and some of the other guys that were drafted in 2025 that need to step up when they get their full opportunity here come April.
And the other side of that, too, is the trades that can potentially be made this offseason. You would think that more prospect-level players would come into the organization. Do you feel like this is as they continue to try to prepare themselves for being an organization that can compete at the highest level but do it with their own guys and always have individuals available, how important is this offseason and this cycle where it is clearly known that there's a lot of players that are available via trade?
Yeah, no, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, and that is that the Cardinals aren't going to give up a Brendan Donovan for a bunch of questionable guys. They're going to look for young talents that are not assured, because nobody's assured to be a major leaguer, but look for some talent that they believe can help them in the near term, and I'm talking about in the next few years, next couple of years. And that's probably most on the pitching side, although the Cardinals certainly drafted heavy toward pitching in their 2025 draft. But, you know, you look at the major league rotation now, even with Sonny Gray here, and he may or may not be here, you know, you've just got McGreevy, Polanyi, and Libertor, and a lot of question marks. And the guys that would backfill them from Memphis are guys that were injured. We talked about Matthew already. Roby missed a lot of time. Tank Hentz, we don't know. Cooper Jerpy missed the whole year. So there isn't a backlog of quality candidates that are healthy at the highest levels of the system ready to help St. Louis.
Pretty remarkable. The three names that you just mentioned with Hintz and Roby and Jerpy, like three guys that you can see as being big-time impact individuals at the major league level, but three guys that really have a hard time staying healthy. And it felt like Roby had maybe turned a corner before he dealt with his last injury. But it's so frustrating when those names are the ones that are connected to injuries, and you just know that if they ever find a way to health, they've got that chance to be pretty special.
Yeah, Roby, Tekoa Roby especially, was exceptional this season. I mean, he demonstrated his capability at Double A, got moved up to Triple A, was off to a nice start, then, you know, had to go have Tommy John. And it's not something that's chronic. It's something that's fairly common with pitchers. But, you know, you lose a whole year, and a year is a big deal for a prospect and for an organization that needs help. Tink Hintz, on the other hand, got put on the Triple A roster to begin the season, but I was at the last game he pitched one inning on March 11th in an exhibition game and had to come out. And he didn't pitch again for a long time, went to Springfield, eventually lost for the season. So Tink Hintz is a guy that probably the Cardinals are going to have to make a reliever at some point just to get him to the major leagues, because this is his second year on the 40-man roster, and he hasn't thrown a pitch at AAA. And Tink Hintz, of course, was drafted in that same high school class as Jordan Walker and Mason Winn, and those guys, of course, have been in the major leagues for multiple years. So, you know, they've got a decision to make with Tink Hintz when he's healthy, how they're going to try to find a way to get him to the major leagues, because he just hasn't shown the durability in the minor leagues to be a six-inning starter in the major leagues.
He is Brian Walton. Brian, give a plug. I know you along with Kyle Reese just started the countdown doing the prospect reviews and prospect profiles. Let our listeners know all about that and everything that you're doing over at the Cardinal Nation.
Yeah, this is a time of year where we get started on our 2026 Cardinals prospect list, and we rank 50 prospects and a number of others who didn't quite make the top 50, but that we like their talent or think they might be breakout candidates. And Kyle and I prepared our list separately and then averaged them together, and that's how we came up with a system ranking. And then each day we'll have an article talking about that player. Number 50 appeared today on Monday, of course 49 tomorrow, all the way through the new year. And then some more articles that follow that sort of look at things like the top prospects of each position and guys who moved up a lot from last year, that kind of thing. Will take us all the way up to winter warm-up. And some of these articles are free, so folks can get a view of the – but a lot of them are for subscribers to the Cardinal Nation. That's how we make our business. But I think you'll see Kyle Reese's scouting reports on these players are excellent. They're right to the point. They get to what they need to do to ultimately make the major leagues.
Very good. He is Brian Walton. Again, thecardinalnation.com is where you check out all of their really, really, really good content. The depth that they go into is you're not going to find it anywhere else. It's fantastic. Again, thecardinalnation.com, and follow Brian on Twitter at @B_Walton. Brian, thank you so much for your time. We'll do this again real soon.
You got it.
All right, very good. That's Brian Walton joining us here on the program. If you want to chime in on anything, you can do so, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. You can tweet at me, @MattPauley on air, MattPauley on air. Or for those of you who are watching on the video stream, you can leave a comment, and we can get into some of those as we go along as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of the show. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up hour number one of the program, and hour number two, we are going to talk with Mike Meyer from STL Sports Central. We'll talk St. Louis Blues hockey with him. We'll do a lot of Blues in the second hour. We'll hear a little bit from Jim Montgomery as well as the Blues get set to go on a pretty lengthy road trip that's going to begin tomorrow in Toronto. Wanted to mention Mizzou football real quickly. First off, impressive win against Mississippi State on Saturday, 49-27. I think Mississippi State's better than that 1-6 SEC record would indicate. That's not a bad football team. Ahmad Hardy just could not be stopped. I mean, for him to go get 300 yards and average 12 yards per carry, now having a 72-yard run and all that certainly helps, but that was, man, that was quite the performance for sure from Ahmad Hardy. A lot of Mizzou fans, though, are so much focused on whether or not Eli Drinkwitz is going to be sticking around. This is going to be an interesting week when it comes to that, because it feels like the Lane Kiffin situation might finalize itself a bit. I saw the report today, it may have been On3 that reported this, that Kiffin has family members going to both Gainesville and Baton Rouge this week. And I guess, I don't know, I assume most of them have been to those places. I don't know how much interaction there might actually be with university administration officials. And Ole Miss evidently wants some sort of resolution as to whether or not Kiffin intends to stick around over the next week. And if he doesn't intend to stick around, that could make things interesting for, does he walk out the door before they go to the college football playoff? Could you imagine that? A coach getting his team to the college football playoff and then not coaching in the college football playoff because they take a job in the same league. That's unprecedented times right now in college athletics, but that seems like something that could happen. And I think that Florida thing, especially for Kiffin, could impact Drinkwitz. So let's just see how this Kiffin thing plays out over the next few days. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at as we are into hour number two of the program. Again, if you'd like to chime in, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, or you can leave a comment on the chat on the video stream, and we will get to that coming up this hour. A lot of Blues talk this hour. We are going to hear from Mike Meyer. He covers the Blues for STL Sports Central. He's going to join us in about 10 minutes or so, and then later on this hour, we'll hear a little bit from Jim Montgomery. He met with the media. Kyle Sixt, our producer tonight. And Kyle, I'm not one who really wants to talk about myself all that often, but I also try to kind of share what's going on sometimes in my personal life with people who listen to this show on an every night basis. And I had tweeted out I told a story about something that kind of cool happened during a hospital stay that I had recently, and then a lot of people took that to check in on me and see how I was doing and give me well wishes. So I just wanted to very quickly, and I'm sure there's some people listening who could not care less about this, and I understand where you are coming from, but wanted to give just a quick update on what actually happened last week. It was really cool, by the way, the folks that filled in with Nate Gatterin for a couple days and Kevin in, and for Rennie Knott, he was in on Friday. And how awesome is that, that we get to have Rennie Knott hosting Sports Open Line on Friday night? And man, I don't know him like at all. I got his phone number and I was able to text him thank you for hosting last week. But I'm such a fan of his and the work that he has done here in St. Louis for a really, really long period of time. And he's obviously in a transition in his career right now, and just really happy that he's kind of part of the KMOX team right now, where we were able to bring him in and have him fill in as a host of Sports Open Line, which is awesome. But I was out last week. If you've listened to me very often, you know that I tend to actually lose my voice a time or two a year. I had an issue going on in my nasal passages, and it had to be fixed surgically. It was going to be a very, very easy surgery. It was under anesthesia, but it was going to be a 20-minute deal, no big deal, super easy. Everything was going to be fine. And I did that on Tuesday morning in a surgery center, and then I was scheduled to be out for the rest of the week last week as I just kind of went through a recovery, which wasn't supposed to be a really bad recovery, but it was enough to keep me for a few days. Things did not go as planned with the surgery. Unfortunately, I got done with the surgery and I went home and everything seemed to be all right. But I'm a hemophiliac. I have hemophilia, and I do things to make sure that my blood clots in these type of situations, but it doesn't always work. And unfortunately, this is one of those situations where it did not work. And about 3 hours after the surgery was over, the clotting that was taking place basically couldn't go anymore. And the blood just started coming out of me, out of my nose specifically. Went back to the surgeon. They worked on me for hours trying to get it to stop. They could not. And at that point, they had to call an ambulance. The ambulance came and got me. When they got me in the ambulance, my blood pressure spiked to 200 over 110, which is very unsafe. And they got me they did lights and sirens and the whole thing. And they got me to the hospital, where a lot of stuff happened that was kind of scary as they were trying to get the blood to stop. And I had issues with my breathing. I had issues with blood pressure. And I ended up spending 3 days in the hospital before eventually getting released just a couple days ago. Still a little bit weak, still not feeling great. I can hear it in my voice right now that I'm just not there, even cognitively. As I've gone through the show, there's been a few times where I've been looking for words and I haven't been able to find them. I don't know how obvious that's been to people listening, but I have noticed it. So not 100% all the way back, but I'm here, and I appreciate everybody who sent well wishes on Kyle. Bluntly, it was a really kind of scary situation for me over a couple days.
Well, Matt, it's great to have you back. That's so scary. Everyone was thinking of you, and it's just good to have you back, and I'm glad you're all right.
I am glad that I'm all right as well, and we'll move forward from here. So just wanted to share kind of where I was at on that again. Heard from so many people, and I really did appreciate that. Something, it was really funny today. Amy's, I was on with Chris and Amy earlier today, and we mentioned that for just a split second, and Amy had the line of the morning when talking about the Blues and all the losses. She said, much like with me, the thing that me and the Blues have in common right now is you have to stop the bleeding. And that is very true, because, man, it is, it's just not good for the Blues right now. They keep losing and losing and losing. And yeah, they've got some overtime and shootout losses here recently, but it's a lot of losses, and they've got the second fewest points in the NHL. Look, there were I have been on the train that the Blues are much better than what the results are showing. And anytime I say that, I get immediate pushback from people saying they're not better than this, that they're not a good team. And I thought it was funny because Jeremy Rutherford, who does a fantastic job covering the Blues for The Athletic, he recently wrote basically a column that the Blues just aren't a good team. And the more I'm watching them, the more I'm starting to come around on that. Like, for all of you out there who pushed back on me when I was saying that that this team is better than the way they're playing right now, maybe the team isn't. And, you know, this next five games will be interesting because it's a good road trip. There's a lot of talk about the team coming together on one of these longer type road trips. Maybe that happens. Maybe it doesn't. We've certainly seen the Blues have the second half resurrections. That's something that they do. But right now, this group of individuals, and I still think there's a lot of talent there. I still think it is a talented group. But right now, as a team, they are just not very good. And it frustrates me to no end when, after all of these bad losses, you get somebody else talking about the lack of effort. And they use different words. They use different words when they talk about it. It was Justin Falk who most recently, after the last game, used the word autopilot. And Jim Montgomery pushed back on that. He said they weren't on autopilot, but they were kind of flat. I think it was in Jeremy Rutherford's column that says, what's really the difference? Autopilot, flat, like whatever. It's all kind of the same. And we've talked about a lack of desperation, and they've talked about a lack of desperation and the energy and the effort and all of those different things that have been going on. I don't have a lot more to say. It's at a point now where they've got to start to show out. And you know what? Playing better and not getting the result, that's not going to do it for me right now. The result, we're at a point now where the results have to come. You know, we spent some time earlier this year talking about it starting to trend in a better direction, and they weren't winning some of those games, but they were playing better, and then you tossed in a win. And that, I think it was that period where they played Vancouver and Columbus, lost in a shootout, lost 3-2, and then won that game against Edmonton. And that felt like a clear upward trajectory. And then they laid an egg against Washington. So that's where this team is at right now. It's got to be more about the result and not just about the process and playing better and all of that. Those things are important, but they have to lead to results at some point in time. We'll talk more about the Blues. We'll talk with Mike Meyer. He covers the Blues for STL Sports Central. He joins us next, and then we'll hear from Jim Montgomery after that. Don't go anywhere. You're locked into a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. A Graybar Sports Open Line continues here on KMOX. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we'll play back some of what Blues coach Jim Montgomery had to say today as the team is set to go on a five-game road trip. We'll talk about them a little bit right now as we're very happy to welcome on to the program. Covers the Blues for STL Sports Central. He is Mike Meyer. You follow him on Twitter at @M_Meyer3. Mike, thanks for taking the time. Welcome back on to KMOX.
Matt, always thanks so much here for having me. Glad to hear that you're up and healthy.
Yeah, appreciate the nice words from you. It was a harrowing few days, but back working today, which is certainly a very good thing. Unfortunately, the Blues are not finding much traction at this point, and they're coming off back-to-back losses, kind of a no-show loss against Vegas, and then a game where they blew two separate two-goal leads against Philadelphia. What in the world do you make of what's happening right now with this team?
This team is an absolute enigma because, you know, they have good periods, good showings where you think maybe this is where they're going to turn it around, but it's sometimes a lack of confidence. It's sometimes where you look at there's this fragile mentality, almost this very similar situation with Logan Mailloux, where he is playing to just play perfectly and not make a mistake. That's almost at times what this Blue squad is seemingly trying to do, is that they're just trying to just play mistake-free hockey instead of just trying to play their confident game, just able to play with their swagger. And so this is a team that is just dying for something positive to be able to just break their way.
What leads to that? Why can't they play loose? Why are they gripping that stick a little bit hard and trying to play the perfect game when I think anybody who's been around this game realizes that that's not the way to be successful?
Yeah, and that's a question that's inside of this locker room here right now, that they need to face themselves here in the mirror, that they need to, you know, and I guess it's a good thing that they're going here on this road trip, because they need to be able to really hold each other accountable here right now and just say, you know, boys, we're going to play here with one another. This is absolutely a team who should be fighting for each other and should have been doing this here from the very beginning. And I don't know if it's a matter of, you know, that they're just trying to just play here for the stat sheet, or they're just looking, again, unfortunately, just grip the sticks here a little bit too tight, and just try to be able to get the clock or the wind down just so they can really get something breaking their way. But that's a wonderful question that unfortunately is just one that the Blues need to continue to ask themselves.
I appreciate honesty and candor, and we get that a lot from these guys. Like, they don't run away from answering questions after games, but unfortunately, a lot of the answers that we've gotten lately is an answer where they're not playing with desperation, where they're not, where they're flat, where all these different type of words basically to say that they're not playing with excitement and they're not playing with energy and all these things. How does that, is that something where a few things have to go right for you and it comes back, or is that something that can be generated by the team?
I think that is where you're kind of missing that spark plug in your lineup. You know, when I hate to go back to this consistency here, like of referencing the 2019 team, but, you know, even since then, you know, you've had guys, again, like a Patrick Maroon, who was in your lineup, who was ready just, you know, to go to bat here for you, a guy who was willing to crack a joke, even going back to the days that Steve Ott here was playing with him. You know, this was a guy who was not afraid to do whatever it took to be able to help make the guys laugh here a little bit. But unfortunately, sometimes it's just where, you know, these guys just need something. Like, they need that spark plug that's in the lineup. And right now, I think the biggest spark plug that you're missing here is a Jake Neighbors. And hopefully he's going to be coming back here soon. But that's just, you know, they're just seem like that they're just missing that identity, that spark plug here again that they just need.
Yeah, Monty said today that Neighbors is going on the trip. He's probably not a player tomorrow, but he's a player at some point. He had arguably the best start of any forward on the roster through, I think he played 8 games and scored 6 goals, if I have that number correct in my head. That's obviously a boost for this team, but Jake Neighbors alone doesn't fix all the issues that this team has.
No, not one bit. And this is where you need to be able to lean here on your veterans. You need to lean here on these experienced players. And, you know, October here aside, you know, that was a horrible, horrible month. You know, the Blues here right now, halfway here through November, Justin Falk's leading this team here in goals. And I think that's the alarming thing. You know, he and Thomas are tied here for 6. Holloway, Snuggerud, Fowler, and I believe Sundquist are also tied here for 4. But the alarming thing here is that you've got Shen, Buchnevich, and even Pareko with 1 point apiece. And so this is where, you know, you're going to need your veterans to really just be able to step up. And like you said, you know, it's going to be more than just a Jake Neighbors, but sometimes you just need that type of a player's energy. You know, you look back at like what Keita Oshie did for his style of play, and, you know, what kind of mentality and energy and just ability that he was able to go to play with. And I think that's something similar that what a Jake Neighbors can be able to bring here to this lineup. And hopefully it's going to be just enough where he can mix and match the lineups here just a smidge bit more and just be able to get some sort of offense and some different play styles here, you know, just mixing and matching with those lineups.
Fair or not fair, every time the Blues just play this kind of way and they don't show that energy that you want to see, it all comes back to the faces of the franchise, the top roster guys, the guys who are getting paid the most amount of money, and that's Jordan Kyrou and Robert Thomas. Can the Blues be a very successful team with those guys being your best players?
I think it's fair that these are your top paid players here for a reason, that these guys are the ones who are expected to play and expected here to produce. You know, unfortunately, Jordan Kyrou has been that guy who's been just used as that scapegoat. There's other players who are in the lineup who are also paid pretty darn similarly, who don't seem to be getting as much of a harsh criticism here towards them. And they need to be able to look here at potentially mixing and matching roles, identities, reduce and increase ice time, whatever that it may end up needing to be. But, you know, these guys are paid here to be your top players for a reason. And when they're not producing, it's making those bottom six players feel that they need to be the ones who are producing. And when these guys may not be goal scorers, they're now the ones who are expected to be able to score the goals. Jimmy Snuggerud, who is, you know, a young kid, he's a rookie, and he's near the top here of your lineup. Yeah. And now all of a sudden you're expecting a Jimmy Snuggerud, a Dalibor Dvorsky to be the savior here of this team. That's not fair. It should absolutely be the faces of the franchise. And it starts here with number 10, Braden Shen.
You're right. It's not fair, but at least the one positive we can say is it's been fun watching both Snuggerud and Dvorsky. Those two guys have done, for the most part, a nice job.
Those two are going to be electric for this team here for years to come. I'm loving what we're seeing here with Jimmy Snuggerud and Robert Thomas here with that dynamite connection. I'll even look here at the Jordan Kyrou, Dylan Holloway connection, and then what Dalibor Dvorsky's been able to do, maybe not even just, you know, offensively, but what he's been able to show here defensively and on the faceoff dot. You're seeing a lot of really good signs from a young player who had some questions about him of whether or not he could become a successful NHL center. And maybe he was going to be a better player here at the wing at the NHL level. And so far, so good. You know, he's showing those signs that he can be responsible here in both sides.
Mike Meyer covers the Blues for STL Sports Central, both writing and does post-game shows, all kinds of stuff, does a great job. You can always and he gets some prospect stuff as well, which we have not really talked to him about that on this show. Maybe we will at some point in the future. Follow him on Twitter, @M_Meyer3. Mike, always appreciate you taking the time. We'll do this again real soon.
Guys, I appreciate it. Have a great night.
All right, very good. That's Mike Meyer joining us here on the show again at STL Sports Central, where he does a fantastic job covering the Blues. Blues get back at it tomorrow. They're going to match up against Craig Berube in the Toronto Maple Leafs tomorrow evening. And in fact, Jim Montgomery, he talked a little bit about his thoughts on Chief and his time working for him in St. Louis, and just all those thoughts and all those memories come up when these two teams play against each other. So we will hear from Jim Montgomery. We'll play back some of what he had to say earlier today. That's up next. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Got you for just a little while longer. We are taking you till 8 o'clock this evening, and then we are going to have a Gas House Gang replay from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock tonight here on KMOX. Also, another reminder for you, something we are all looking forward to. Coming up on Thursday, it is our KMOX 100-year anniversary special, and what that means is basically all day long, it's going to be dignitaries, KMOX alum, stories, just all kinds of amazing stuff. I've gotten just a little bit of a peek of what's going on. I don't think I even have a taste of what all is going to be taking place, but that's going to be starting first thing in the morning on Thursday and going all the way until 6:30 when we get done for Thursday Night Football. So I would encourage you to be locked in to KMOX all day long on Thursday, because it absolutely is going to be worth it. It's going to be a very special and very cool day. The Blues get back at it coming up tomorrow night. They are going to return to action as they are set to match up against Toronto. This is going to open up an extended road trip for the Blues, something they really haven't done this year. It's a five-gamer where they're going to play the Maple Leafs, the Flyers, the Islanders, the Rangers, and the Devils, and they are not scheduled to be home again until a game on Friday, November 28th, so it's going to be a little while. Blues coach Jim Montgomery met with the media earlier today after they went through practice, and one of the things that was evident as practice went on was there was a lot more communication, stopping and talking through things, all of that, and Montgomery did say that trying to talk more in practice absolutely was a goal for today.
Point of emphasis has been we need to communicate more. If there's any doubt in their minds, we got to eliminate any doubt. I hate having any gray area, and lately it's been looking like there's been a lot of gray area to our game.
And specifically to today's practice, one of the points of emphasis that they had on everybody was really using the feet and using the lower body more, especially from a defensive standpoint, and just a way to help keep their opposition out of better scoring chances.
We just talked about using our feet, like defensively, checking more. Take away time and space with your feet. It's your number one asset when you're checking.
The Blues have been playing for a while without Jake Neighbors. He arguably had the best start to the season of any forward on the team before he ended up getting injured. Well, it sounds like he is going to be back very, very soon. Maybe not tomorrow, but very, very soon, as Montgomery did give an update on Neighbors' health status.
He is going on the trip. We expect him to be a player at some point on the trip. So...
is that looking?
It's not tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Is he way ahead of schedule or just a little ahead of schedule?
I think if he's ahead of schedule, it's like 3 days. I think it's, I don't know when the 4 week. It was minimum 4 weeks. We thought maximum five. He's going to be in that 4 to 5 week span.
And I mentioned the numbers that Neighbors has put up so far this year. Appearing in 8 games, he has scored 6 goals with 7 points, and he's skating for about 15 minutes per game. So somebody who's really had a big impact, again, in those games that he played before he ended up getting injured. And Montgomery spent some time talking through just what Neighbors is going to be able to bring this team once he does return.
I mean, the depth of a player like him that adds to your... you know, top six forwards, you can't, you know, put enough on it. We saw the impact Thomas had the first game back against Edmonton. He's just going to make us deeper and better.
Mentioned the road trip coming up, and it's a long one. Again, a 5-game road trip where the team is going to be out for over a week. And that can be tough on a team, but sometimes when things are not going well, that can actually be good on a team. And Montgomery said this road trip is absolutely a good chance for the team to more fully come together.
It's a tremendous opportunity, not only to gel, but, like, we haven't had more than 2-game road trip yet. Like, this is a real road trip in the NHL where we go to some not only legendary teams, but places you want to play. Toronto, Philly, New York, New Jersey. Like, you know, so it's exciting because we get to spend some time together. We're going to have meals together. And we're going to roll up our sleeves and go to work together.
Obviously, at this point, you're just looking for things that you can almost turn into positives because... it's not good for the Blues right now. They've got 16 points. That's tied for the second fewest points across the entire NHL. And Montgomery spent some time today talking about how he coaches. And sometimes you go hard. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you try to go at guys. And sometimes you try to lift guys back up, right? That's the art of coaching. And it's true all the time. But Montgomery went through a little bit on how his approach to coaching and choosing, you know, picking and choosing the spots and how he is going to be in those different spots to try to best help the team.
To be honest, you got to balance it all the time as a coach. When do you push? When do you pull back? I think when things are going hard like they are right now, you push in a quiet tone. You can be harder with your tone and more demanding in your tone when your team's on a roll, because they're feeling good about themselves. They don't care what you're saying and how you're saying it. But when the confidence is low, your tone, you have to be aware of it as a coach.
And he also specifically was asked about how he goes about coaching up Pavel Buchnevich, because Buchnevich, there's been a lot of guys who have struggled this year, but it's hard to look past Buchnevich, who in 19 games has 2 goals and 7 points, just has not been very good. And I thought this was interesting in what Montgomery had to say about the way he goes and approaches Buchnevich, really one way inside of a game and another way when they're going through practice.
I think in game, you can be very firm with him and there's going to be some bite back, but that's the way he's wired. You know, he's really fiery in games. In practice, he's more... he competes hard in the drills he likes, but there's more of a subdued tone, and you can talk to him more and reason with him more, and he'll give you more feedback that helps the team as well, like in practice or in the locker room. And he loves to laugh. Like, you talk about funny stuff, and he's got a tremendous sense of humor.
Tomorrow's game against Toronto is going to be a milestone game, as Justin Falk is going to play in the 1,000th game of his career. Certainly something that's not easy to get to. And Montgomery shared his thoughts on Falk and who he is as a player and how much appreciation he has for him, a guy who has been in this league for a long time.
A physical specimen in the sense that he's just so powerful and athletic. He skates great. He shoots great. Wins one-on-one battles all over the ice. You know, and he's someone that has tremendous impact in the game. He's played since he's 19 in the NHL, and he's been a big part of what Carolina did, and he's been a big part of the success the Blues have had while he's been here.
And then finally, anytime the Blues do match up against Toronto, it's an opportunity to match up against their former head coach in Craig Berube. Montgomery was an assistant for Berube, and when thinking about just the time that the two spent together, he really has a lot of appreciation for it.
Really, it puts a smile on my face because I really enjoyed my time with Chief. Not only did I learn a bunch from him, learned how to handle players from him, I learned how calm he was, like when times got real tense. And then just, you know, the way he treated people. Everyone loved being around Chief, you know, because he was the same person, whether you were a president of the United States or whether you drove the Zamboni. He treated everybody the same. And that's a genuine person. That's the word that comes to mind the most. A genuine, fun-loving dude.
That is Blues coach Jim Montgomery. Again, the Blues back at tomorrow. They're opening up a 5-game Eastern road trip. They'll play in Toronto tomorrow night. That's going to be a 6 o'clock puck drop. And then they'll head to Philadelphia on Thursday. They'll also play the Islanders, Rangers, and Devils before eventually coming back home. We'll take one more break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up this edition of the program. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap things up on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on at KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Coming up when I get done, just after the 8 o'clock news, we are going to have a replay of today's Gas House Gang, so you certainly will want to stay tuned for that. Wanted to mention this real quick before we get out of here. It was reported over the weekend, or maybe late last week, that members of Congress sent a letter to Major League Baseball and their commissioner, Rob Manfred, expressing concern, and I read from an ESPN.com article, expressing a concern over a, quote, new integrity crisis, unquote, that is facing American sports. They also wanted answers about the recent situation involving Cleveland Guardians pitchers Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz. And we don't need to relitigate that here at the moment. I think most people listening understand that what they are being accused of, where they were specifically basically throwing balls in certain, like, you know, ball versus strike, like, you know, a first pitch ball in a bat or in an inning. And allegedly they were giving that information to bettors who were then betting on those single pitches. And that's what, and then there was some, you know, betting, some betting that just did not seem quite right. And it was flagged and eventually an investigation. And now those two guys are each under indictment, which actually challenges things for Major League Baseball. Ken Rosenthal had previously reported that Major League Baseball would like to discipline Ortiz and Clase by the time you get to spring training as a way to avoid them getting paid any money. Because once they were placed on whatever the list is called this past year, when they were not allowed to play anymore, they were still paid their full salaries for 2025. Clase got about $4.5 million, and Ortiz made just under $800,000 this past year. Clase is going to get about $6 million this upcoming season. Ortiz, as a pre-arbitration player, was probably going to get about $800,000, but Major League Baseball is hopeful that they are not going to see that money, that they are going to have some type of penalty handed down. What that penalty is, it's going to be a lifetime ban. That's the rule in Major League Baseball. Betting on baseball, anything that goes along with it, it's a lifetime ban. So I think barring, and they're both proclaiming their innocence, and we live in a country where we are innocent until proven guilty. So there is going to be, at least from a legal standpoint, there is going to be a requirement of finding those guys guilty, and we'll see what happens with baseball when it comes to their investigation. But that's where this all kind of gets muddled, because sometimes when there are government investigations going on, and I think it's going to be hard for Major League Baseball to hand down any type of penalty if the federal investigation is still going on, or if Major League Baseball was the only entity that was publicly investigating them, well, then at that point, it's a whole lot easier to hand down some type of penalty. Here's where I get frustrated. And there are members of our government, elected officials, who understand sports, who know sports, who are sports fans. I would assume many of them listen to this station and this show. I know I have political parties, or people who work in political spaces that follow me on social media. Like, so this is not an across the board thing, but I always shriek a little bit when politicians start to get involved with sports, because there tends to be, when you get a lot of politicians together at the same time, there tends to be a misunderstanding. Is that a good word? A complete misunderstanding of what's actually happening. And that's what caught my, that's what I really caught on this letter that was sent. So again, I'm not trying to get overly political here. That's not the point here. But it is the Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation, which evidently oversee professional sports. Senators Ted Cruz and Marsha Cantwell, who lead the committee, sent the letter to Major League Baseball wanting details about the new integrity crisis. Here is where I know that I read from the letter and I go, oh my goodness, this is not something that these people should be involved in. So they bring up the case of Tucapita Marcano. And if you remember him, he was a member of the San Diego Padres. And he was banned for life for baseball. He was banned from baseball for life. Yeah, he was banned for life in baseball because he placed bets on baseball. He placed 387 total bets on baseball back in 2022. And he bet over $150,000. So he placed 387 bets. That's pretty easy to find. That is, when an individual is betting on baseball, like literally placing bets on the game of baseball, especially with all the sports books now being, basically affiliated with Major League Baseball somehow, some way, it's really easy. It's really easy to figure that out and ban somebody for life. So the letter to Major League Baseball and Commissioner Rob Manfred reads, how did Major League Baseball catch Marcano and ban him for life, but failed to notice Class A allegedly rigging pitches for 2 years? The integrity of the game is paramount. Major League Baseball has every interest in ensuring baseball is free from influence and manipulation. But in light of these recent developments, Major League Baseball must clearly demonstrate how it is meeting its responsible to safeguard America's pastime, unquote. It is ridiculous to compare somebody who went out and placed 387 bets on baseball and compare them to somebody who every once in a while was throwing ball one and giving that information to bettors. Like, both are really bad. I'm not saying one's worse than the other, but I am saying that one is a whole lot easier to catch than the other. So for this letter and for these individuals in Congress to connect the two and say, well, how'd you catch Marcano so easily? How you banned him for life. You did that just like that. And now everything else has taken so long with Class A and Ortiz. Like, that is ridiculous that they would say that. And it just continues to show an absolute lack of understanding in what happens in sports sometimes when politicians and when the government gets involved. And on this one here, I would just prefer, with all due respect to everybody who is a sitting member of the United States Senate, I would just prefer that they sit this one out and allow the law authorities federally that are investigating this and allow Major League Baseball investigators to get into this, and they don't have to take a seat at the table, because just that one single paragraph in that letter completely and totally proves to me that these people have no clue what they're talking about and have no understanding if they are connecting, if they're saying that you should be able to catch a guy who's actually placing bets on baseball and a guy who is occasionally throwing ball one. To say that those two should be just as easily caught, again, lack of understanding of everything going on. All right, that is it for the program tonight. Thank you so much for being tuned in, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow for Rush Hour Sports at 5 o'clock, Sports Open Line at 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Up next, it's a replay of Gas House Gang. That's in just a moment right here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.